Hello and welcome to the Rookie Pastor Podcast. I'm Eric Mavick, your host, and bringing you today part two, the final part of my conversation with Harris Bond. Harris Bond is a church planter in Monroe, Louisiana, and so if you're just jumping in now, go listen to part one and then come right back. We'll be here waiting for you. But in this episode, we get back into church planting. We talk about the benefit of having prior pastoral experience in starting a church. We actually also check in with Harris because he had recently had a heart attack, and so seeing how he's doing there. We talk about what ministry looked like for him before the pandemic hit and what ministry looks like now. And we'll close out with a few moments talking about how we're all being forced to face our own mortality and what that looks like and why we need the gospel. So it was a great talking with my friend Harris. I hope you've enjoyed it and that is beneficial to you. And as always, thanks for listening.
And growing. But, you know, it is interesting. There's no way, going back to the topic of church planting, I'm now 43 years old. So that means I was 42 or even 41 when this, whole discussion of planting in Monroe, Louisiana was going on. And, if that conversation would have happened 10 years prior, I mean, there's no way it would have.
Yeah. I once, when I was getting ready to graduate, I was going to, my family was in Georgia, and so I would go out to Georgia, and I was desperately trying to figure out how to get back to Georgia. So I was, I couldn't find anything, and then I thought about, well, what about church planting? And so I started looking into church planting, and so I ended up getting lunch with, a man named Alan Foster. You might know him. And I think at that time he was coordinating the church planting network there. This was back in like 2012. So he took me out to lunch and basically he just said, go pastor for 3 years and then call me. And that was the summary of it. He was very encouraging. He was very, about it. But as the guy who was about to graduate seminary, I was kind of like, I was a little hoping for a little bit more than that, but that was wise. Cause he said, look, you need some experience. And I know that the model that we're looking at is changing a bit. We can talk about that maybe in another conversation. Cause I really want to focus it on you and Monroe, what's going on there. But there is value certainly in getting some pastoral experience and getting out of the seminary bubble, getting into a real congregation. If you were an all-star student and you were an all-star in the presbytery, getting around some people who are not going to agree with you and who are not going to like you sometimes. And sometimes even for the silliest of reasons. And other times for legitimate reasons. and learning how to love people and how to be loved by people, which I had the hardest time with the second part of it. So I think there definitely is value in that. Cause you want a guy who's going to go plant a church to have some maturity to him. And because, I mean, you look at the stuff that you handle as a pastor and some of the situations you get, you have to step into and you're just like, man. And if you threw that into a church planting situation as well, where all these other unknowns are going on, it's like, that is a lot, but that's also why, you're doing a scratch plant. So that also means that means you're in Monroe. So you're in Northern Louisiana. There are not many PCA churches in Northern Louisiana. There are, but the closest church is Delhi, I think, about 30 minutes.
Delhi, the 30 minute service, and Ruston to, I guess, another 30 minutes west.
So those are the closest churches. And then beyond that, I mean, there's not many in Arkansas. So, I mean, it is a pretty, it's not a heavy area where, as if we planted near Jackson or something like that in Mississippi. So you've got, which means that you have less personal resources in terms of just people that you can very quickly go and see and hang out with. And so, which is why we've paired you up through the network. Thankfully, they got you hooked up with a coach, and we want to make sure that you and your wife are cared for and have those resources and everything. So, because of that, but I want to get into, first of all, you had a bit of a health scare recently.
Yeah, I did.
So if you could just give us a quick update on your heart and what's going on with you and your life there. So.
Sure. Yeah. So, in the midst of, trying to figure out how do you continue to meet people, gather people during a pandemic quarantine where you can't readily meet with people, I began having chest pains, and wasn't sure what to do with that. And Laura Beth, my wife, said, please call the doctor now. And I did. And I thought it'll go away. She wisely compelled me. Anyway,
wisdom. Listen to your wife.
Yes. There were, when the readings came back after blood work, my cardiac enzymes were elevated to a concerning level. I went to the ER. My wife, we loaded up in our minivan, the whole family, including our dog. And they dropped me off at the ER because they can't go in with me because of the coronavirus. Well, anyway, apparently I'd had a form of a heart attack, and then they did a catheterization and found blockages on my coronary arteries and put stents in. Mm-hmm. If we hadn't done that, perhaps something, very grave would have happened to me. So God used a relatively minor heart attack to bring to light and reveal the larger issues of my heart, to address.
So is it primarily then, is the response then the recovery and from here on out, is it mainly kind of, some medication and lifestyle change?
It absolutely is. So yeah, part of my story is the genetic effects of the fall. My father and my uncle, all had, heart attacks and blockages, heart disease. And so, regardless of your lifestyle choices, that's going to be a factor. But as it turns out, yes, when you take people out to eat all the time, as I do, a lot of times I settle for the processy saturated versions, of food. So we haven't eaten the best. Interestingly enough, in the last 3 weeks, I've lost 10 pounds based off of the changes, and the mindfulness. Of healthy eating. So absolutely, I've always been physically active, relatively speaking. I never thought this would happen to me at age 43. I always referred to the blood thinners and blood pressures, medicines and et cetera I'll just go on and say it. Old people medicines. I know some of you might be listening to this. You're like, hey, wait a second. You're talking about me. Well, now I'm talking about myself. So yeah. There we go. And there's some adjustment physically to those medicines. I was doing something, the other day. I'll admit I was changing a flat tire. Something was like, you shouldn't be doing that right now. Well, anyway, and I was bending over, of course, jacking up the car, and when I got up, I got dizzy.
Yeah.
That was because I'm just, getting used. But other than that, to be honest, the effects of putting stents in, blood flow to your heart, oxygenated blood, I feel like I have so much more energy. Yeah. I did not know that I felt bad before. Mm-hmm. And I am ready to see what my body can do. I just got off the phone prior to this with my cardiologist office talking about those things. So, so this is good.
Yeah, oxygen in the blood. It's an amazing thing. So it's,
I will say this, this is not just trying to paint sentiment or religious language. Anybody who has had a heart attack, or a life-threatening or potentially life-threatening physical event, you are face-to-face with your mortality.
Yeah.
And you can have lots of, there are lots of emotional responses one gets as a result of that. You know, I want to live long enough for my children and my wife, things like that. Well, very profoundly, freshly aware that God in his grace and his providence has preserved me from likely death.
Yeah.
He's shown me, on the one hand, I am but dust before his eternal presence, but he's also sent me back to know him, fear him, to love my family well, and also to love others, serve others in light of eternity with the gospel of Jesus. There's that Richard Baxter quote, as a dying man to dying men. Those things really strike very powerfully within my heart.
Yeah.
As long as my heart is beating and there's blood flowing in my veins and there's breath, air, friction in my lungs, God desires me to be, and he has a purpose, a calling, and that calling is not a light, momentary thing, but an eternal weight of glory. And so, I am profoundly grateful and have a joy and a weightiness, about my life that I don't take for granted.
Yeah, that's great. And, as we're thinking about church planting, I really want to focus in on what your work in Monroe. So where was the church plant work kind of at before the shelter at home coronavirus stuff hit? Like where were you at that point?
Yeah. So moving into a new town, which is, the area of Monroe, West Monroe, the metro area, depending on how you count it. I'm just going to say 150,000. People usually give a bigger number. So it's I don't know what you call that. Is that a large town or a small city? But it feels small.
Yeah.
No prior core group. What have we been doing? Well, we've been simply getting to know, networking, putting myself in the way of gospel conversations, having people into our home, often. Whether in family by family or even larger groups. A lot of times we would open our home up to just anybody, really, and we would have all kinds of folks into our house. It's really fun, to be honest, and just exciting. And as we do that, and of course we're pretty upfront. I mean, we're here to plant a church, and usually that provokes all kinds of conversations. What are you talking about? You know, things like that. Mm-hmm. We were kind of at a point. We were having starting a Bible study type gathering of this, especially this. I guess you could say this orbit of people into our lives. Some were extremely interested in the idea of a new church plant. That were believers. Some are unbelievers, very unchurched, who are curious. And then others who are kind of interested, but you know, they don't know. They're just kind of testing out the waters, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really had kind of an encouraging collection of people, that, you know, about 30 people, I guess you could say, were, we were going to kick it off the beginning of March. We wanted to do it earlier, and I just pumped the brakes and wanted to have particularly more people over first. And I was hesitant to call this a core group, but at least it was the emergence and the beginning stages of one. The goal was to start this Bible study in March and by the end of May to have identified those who were kind of really on board.
Yeah.
And seeing, hey, God is doing something. What is God doing? He's doing something we want to be a part of. This Bible study was for the purpose of some of those people getting to know each other. It was, of course, seeing the Word of God and the Gospel be central to it and kind of implicitly casting vision. Well, I remember that weekend that we were going to kick it off, the flu struck us. And we were going to do it in our home. And so the next, it was going to be on Sunday night. And I'd gotten an alternative location, not our home, because of germs. We were recovering, but, you know. One of our friends owns the local brewery in town, Flying Tiger Brewery. And they're going to open it up. We're not open on Sundays, but we'll open just for you. And so we were excited about it. And that is when Louisiana went pretty quickly, as compared to Mississippi, for example, or Alabama, into some restrictions of no more than 10 people, maybe it was 20 at first. And then I think within a week, we were doing the stay at home order. So we actually never had it. Initially a very discouraging thing. I felt like we had grown in momentum and there was kind of a window, a sweet spot, if you will, of seizing that momentum. That's what we were doing.
Yeah.
And so, and then all of a sudden, if you think about it, all I do is I meet with people. I'm in public places all the time. Yeah. I'm having people over into your home. All the very things that you cannot do anymore. The big picture is to see its momentum delayed, you know, not really canceled, but delayed. And in the midst of it, you know, you can sit around and mope. That's not really useful. You can say, God, what are you doing? What are you up to? And so you begin to adjust, as many churches had to do on the spot. As our government has been doing. I mean, everybody's kind of shooting from the hip.
Yeah.
Not having all the information, right? And so I begin to, I guess my main adjustments were, on the one hand, in terms of just meeting people, you can call and check in on people that you already know. And that's, I probably have underestimated that. I mean, that really does mean a lot. But, my immediate neighborhood came into much prominence.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could walk around my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there were people I'd never seen before who were now working out of their home.
Yeah.
Things like that. How do you do outreach? How do you continue creatively looking for evangelism opportunities?
Mm-hmm.
When you're sheltering in place? And I will say a lot of people have taken the shelter-in-place thing pretty seriously where I am.
Yeah.
In Louisiana, the cases of COVID-19 it struck very quickly and very high rate. And of course, many of you probably realize that's a lot of that in New Orleans and South Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Monroe has been a hot spot.
Yeah.
By itself. So... But anyway,
well, where I live in Meridian is, our county is the second highest in the state.
Really? So, okay. Wow.
Yeah. We have over 500 cases. So.
Oh, wow. So really and truly, anywhere I went, let's say I'm picking up food to go, which we tried to be very intentional about. You could just see the fear and anxiety, especially restaurant workers, everywhere you go. And they were just meaningful relationships I already had, in that kind of, sector of folks. Everybody's kind of experimented with things online, whether it's the Facebook Live thing or even doing what you're doing, podcasting.
Yeah.
And just different things. I love the common theme of conversations or even little things. I mean, I did a video just a couple of weeks ago just to pose this question. What are some things in your life that this quarantine has brought out in you, has revealed of you that you're not sure what to do with? You know, maybe in your marriage, or maybe in your ability to rest or not rest. I call them Rona revelations. And I use that as kind of a creating an open space to be able to talk about the gospel.
Hmm.
I've had some feedback from that. You know, it hasn't been overwhelming, but I have. So there's been those types of efforts. I've placed more emphasis on kind of personal touch than Zoom, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Things are beginning to open up in Louisiana as they are in Mississippi.
Yep.
People are still timid. Well, excuse me. Some people are very timid. Now, other people are anything but. They're raring to go. And I know just psychologically I'm done. I'm ready to be out and about. But I'm very excited that things are opening up. And where people are comfortable, we're having them over. Where people are not comfortable, you know, maybe it's we're only in our backyard outside.
Yeah.
Or I just, you know, keep following up. So begin like this week is the first week where things are beginning to open up. And I'm just eager to see what the mission field of people looks like. So, as I mentioned, that building momentum and entering into little sweet spots, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rush it very well. You just got to go through it. And so what that means is that initial momentum and gathering, was very encouraging. So we're going to go through that again. You know, maybe it won't take as long. I don't know. The big thing is how does God want to steer this?
Yeah.
Never before in my life, am I so aware of what it is to look to God, to inquire of him, to wait upon him, and then follow him. Very dependent we are on his leading. And this has just been another step in that process. You know, in the middle of this pandemic, we had a tornado, actually multiple tornadoes come through our area. Monroe is a very segregated place,
mm-hmm.
like very segregated. There's not mixed neighborhoods, really. So wherever you live really dictates a lot of things. And I'm realizing how big deal that is now. Most of the tornado damage was all in the African-American part of town.
Hmm.
And I do not live in that area. I try to network in that area. But my networking happens a lot faster in the neighborhood where I live, for example, because I live there.
Yep.
Anyway, there's just amazing new friendships that have formed in the wake of, you know, destruction, need, but also people coming together, as happens in a natural disaster. In other words, God has changed the orbit of people. You know, there was an orbit of people. There was traction, and praise God for that. And he's used the quarantine and he's used the tornadoes to shift the direction of that. How interesting, how fascinating. So God, I've seen God in this the whole time. Now, what will this look like going forward as pertains to planting or as pertains to any of the contexts which we find ourselves? I do think things, you know, this has been an admittedly and purposely slow process of networking and gathering because of its scratch nature. Think to use a grilling metaphor, it's low and slow, you know, of a good piece of meat.
Yeah.
Low and slow church planting. I'm getting that from Alan Foster, actually. That's his words. But I think a lot of that's going to happen because of the pandemic as well, the low and slow part for everybody. I think that's just kind of the realistic expectation.
Yeah.
But then realize that's how God is also going to work. Sometimes it's a richer process. So that, you know, exactly this, let's go through the process again. I'm not starting from scratch anymore in that sense. I know people. I'm becoming a known quantity in Monroe. And Monroe is becoming a known quantity to me.
Yeah.
And so that's a beautiful thing. I love Monroe and West Monroe. And we're so grateful to be here. And I'm just ready to be back into the warp and woof of our communities. I'm ready to be with people, and it's beginning to happen, but it may happen slowly because, you know, some people are still timid about, and Laura Beth is still timid about, you know, going into a restaurant inside of a restaurant, for example.
Oh, yeah.
And those are real things, and that's just going to be shaping us as we go forward. And we don't know to what degree. We don't know what the fall looks like. So, but we trust the Lord, and if that changes the way we do things, then we're going to trust the Lord in that. If we do more things online, because I'm a face-to-face person so much.
Yeah.
You know, if smaller gatherings into our home, as opposed to larger, we're going to find out. And then the effects of our economy being damaged and the anxieties that are going to continue with that, the physical concrete areas of need that are going to be present and lingering, those are open doors, and their own spiritual sweet spots, if you will, that cannot be neglected. We're all faced either with mortality or threatening of treasured idols that we have served in our culture. They're being threatened, and what happens when those are threatened? You don't know where you're standing.
Yeah.
And so those, you know, the God is at work. Let's cry out to him together. Let's plead for mercy, and mourn over, where we've not looked to the Lord, and then look to the Lord and he'll refresh us. I mean, that's the gospel opportunity everywhere right now.
Yeah, I think so, there's a certain degree of uncertainty that's left with that, is assumed for church planters because there's not that structure in place where you're gathering people. And so it's very much, it lacks that natural structure that is in an established church setting. As a pastor, you go into an established church, the building's there, the congregation is there, you know, and it's got its own challenges. Absolutely. But to some degree, you know, I think the church feels that, you know, this has been a really good time to think about our doctrine of the church, because I think a lot of us have been asking, like, well, what's the difference between corporate worship and family worship? And, you know, family worship's a blessed thing, but why is it not the same thing as gathering together for worship with other families on a Sunday? You know, it's like, so, and what is the church? And so, and how does the church operate? And so I think this is, Matt Bowling said, this is a great time for us to question our assumptions that we have about church. And so, well, this is great, man. Wait, I know it's about time because I know you got to go, and I got to run too. But so I do want to have you back on though, because we didn't get into. I wanted to do a little deeper dive into the area of evangelism with you, and just mm-hmm. kind of talk maybe a little bit more about how churches, church plants, and established churches work together rather than stand in competition to each other, because sometimes that that attitude is there. So I'm going to have to get you on the schedule to come back on and talk more about that. But this is,
I would love to, and I'll be less rambly than I am today.
No, this is great. This is really great. So, it was good to hear like what's going on with you, what's happening in Monroe, and how you're, and it's really refreshing to hear how excited you are about the ministry opportunities that are ahead of you. And so, it's challenging and encouraging at the same time, and so that's really great. So
really and truly, this has been a there's no script for doing ministry of any kind and church planting in particular during a pandemic. But the good thing is it's clarified a lot of our mission.
Yeah,
it's helped us to be agile, and adapt, be innovative, in ways. And there are other church planters. I mean, they're all doing the same thing at various stages. I cannot say enough good things about the Mid-South Church Planting Network, among the community of planters, but also of, Clint Wilkie, as well, who's just helping to, get us to take our pulses together, and also to trade ideas, but also to see that what is God doing? Let's follow Him in this. This is something that impacts all of us, and so this is you cannot have too many gospel works between established churches and fledgling churches and potential church plants partnering together for the broader kingdom of salvation in Christ.
Yeah, well said. All right, man. Well, it has been a pleasure. And so we're going to head out now. So I'll be back in touch with you. But thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's good to see you. Good to hear from me. I get to see you.
We're
doing this over Zoom, but it's great to see you.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. If you want to get in touch with Harris, you can go to thebondsinmonroe.com, his website there. You can also check the show notes over at therookiepastor.com. If you want to get in touch with me, you have a comment, suggestion, or question, you can email me at eric@baileychurch.com. Look forward to hearing from you. And that'll do it for us. So for the Rookie Pastor Podcast, I'm Eric Mabbitt. And remember, just one step at a time.